Any number of jokes contain the lines, "the check's in the mail," or "I'm from the government, here to help you." But they're not funny if you've been waiting by the mailbox for your stimulus check. Yeah, it's been over a month since the federal government began sending out stimulus checks to individuals. If you haven't received yours yet, Rob West has a list of reasons why it could be delayed. We'll go over those. Then we'll take your calls on that or anything financial at 800-525-7000. We love to chat. 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Glad to have you along for today's edition of MoneyWise Live. Rob, it's probably safe to say that most people have gotten stimulus checks in response to the COVID-19 virus, but that doesn't include everyone. So why is that?
Yeah. Well, we should point out that these are the checks to individuals, not part of the payroll or paycheck protection program, which is an entirely different operation. Individuals, Steve, are set to receive $1,200 each and $500 per child, subject to income limitations, of course. And as best we can tell, there are five reasons some people may not have received those payments yet. The first reason would be you didn't receive a refund for either your 2018 or 2019 tax. You must have gotten a refund and you had to authorize the IRS to give you that refund by direct deposit. So if your refund came by paper check, well, the IRS is using the same system to send you a stimulus check and that causes delays. Interestingly, if you filed your return electronically and authorized the IRS to withdraw funds from your bank account because you owed money, that won't qualify you for direct deposit on your stimulus check. It's only if you received a refund by direct deposit that stimulus funds would go out that way.
Okay. Well, it's nice that they're keeping it simple. Okay. what's the next reason?
Well, your stimulus check may have been direct deposited into an old bank account that you've closed since your 2018 return. If you owed money in 2019 or you haven't filed yet because the deadline was extended to July 15th, the IRS will use the bank account information it had on file for your 2018 return. Well, if you've closed that account, the bank will probably return the funds to the IRS. Now, unfortunately, the IRS had an online tool that may have helped in that case. It was called Get My Payment, and it allows you to update your bank information. But they've now closed that portal, and it may not have helped anyway if the IRS was already in the process of cutting you a paper check.
Okay. All right. I think I've got that. What's the next reason your check may have been delayed?
Yeah, this one will probably surprise a lot of listeners. Your check may have gone to a temporary bank account used by your tax preparer. You may not realize it, but sometimes a tax preparer will set up a temporary account to receive your refund. Their fees will then be deducted and the rest transferred into your bank account. Or some preparers offer advanced loans on refunds. I don't recommend it. So they'll set up a temporary account to recoup the loan from your refund. So you could check with your tax preparer for either 2018 or 2019 to see if your stimulus check went there. Eventually, the money will catch up to you, but a temporary bank account may help explain the delay.
Huh. Okay. The old temporary bank account trick. Didn't see that one coming. All right. Any other reasons?
Well, it's the next one is this. You filed a paper tax return in 2019. That's potentially a huge snag because with social distancing due to the coronavirus outbreak, the IRS has had many of its employees working from home. Obviously, they're not going to carry bushel baskets full of paper returns home. So the IRS temporarily stopped processing paper returns, and now they have a lot of catching up to do. So again, if you didn't get a refund by direct deposit in 2018 or 2019, or you filed a paper return for 2019, you're going to be at the back of the line, unfortunately, waiting for one of those paper checks from the IRS.
Okay, well, let's hope that line's getting a bit shorter. Okay, I think we have time for one more reason, if you have one, sir.
Yeah, I do. And that would be if you don't normally file a tax return. If your income is below $12,200 for an individual or $24,400 for a married couple filing jointly, you don't have to file a return. In that case, the IRS doesn't have up-to-date records on you. Essentially, you have to let them know you're out there. So they've set up a different portal for non-filers where you can input your information, and we'll have that, a link for that in today's show notes at moneywiselive.org. Now, you won't have to do that if you receive Social Security benefits because the government already knows that you're out there by way of you getting those benefits each month.
Okay, and the government already knows that we're out here because we're on the radio each day and talking about them. So, but that's our problem. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. We'll be back with your calls after this. Welcome back to MoneyWise Live. Our Facebook question of the day is something along the lines of what has been your experience in receiving your stimulus check? Brenda says, I'm still waiting. I've consistently filed taxes on time with direct deposit. I even had it done already this year before all of this started. No check as of yet. We're sorry to hear that. Lorreen says, received mine 2 weeks after they went out, saved a portion, spent a portion, and the rest paid half my credit card balance off. That's a great thing. Mary Lynn says, I received mine. For the most part, it's gone to pay bills, and that's a good thing, too. But we're also all about celebrating. If you do something great, something positive with your finances, save a little out and go out. And, of course, Rob, my go-to is always a large pizza with mushrooms. And I like black olives on mine. And what about yours? If you're going to celebrate, if you and the wife are going to go celebrate, as they say, Rob, what would it yes. what would it be? What would you do?
I never pegged you for a vegetarian pizza kind of guy. But
no, I want some meat there somewhere.
Oh, okay.
You know, I like chicken. I like chicken a lot on pizza.
On your pizza?
Yeah, yes, on my pizza. Don't make fun of me.
I think we're typically a pepperoni and mushroom kind of family.
Yeah. Yeah, mushrooms are good. You got to have mushrooms. Yeah. None of those little fish. What are they? Guppies? Sardines. Yeah. No, I don't care for those. Okay. All right. Hey, here's our phone number because we're supposed to be taking your calls. 800-525-7000 if you'd like to talk about money and finance and what God's word says about it to make us even better and stronger stewards and followers of him. Let's do that. 800-525-7000. Staples, Minnesota. Colette, how can we help you today?
Hi. So I have a question. I'm just wondering, that stimulus and that extra $600 a week on unemployment, are we needing to pay that back?
No, you will not. So you won't have to pay back the stimulus money. But keep in mind, neither the unemployment benefits are taxable to you, both federal and state, as income. The stimulus money is not taxable, but none of it will have to be paid back as a part of this program.
Okay. I was just wondering. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome, Colette. Thank you for calling.
However, Rob, someone might suggest that ultimately somebody is going to have to pay it back to the government in the years to come. But that's probably another topic for another day, huh?
I would venture to say you're correct.
Lakeland,
on both fronts.
Okay, thanks. Lakeland, Florida. Hi, Carl. What's your question for Rob West?
Yes. I haven't received a stimulus check yet. I get Social Security, and I have a bank account for the last 10 years, and I haven't received a check yet.
Yeah, I would, Carl, I would, just be patient. I was actually just talking to somebody that received their paper check yesterday, so it could be that it just hasn't gotten to you yet. But you can rest assured that if you receive Social Security, the government has your information, and a check should be on the way, and I venture to say you'll get it in the next few days. So keep an eye on it. Stay on the lookout. If for some reason it doesn't come in the next couple of weeks, then it probably is worth a follow-up to the IRS, starting with their website, or you could place a phone call. But I'd be just a bit more patient, and I suspect you'll see it any day.
Carl, we wish you the best.
Yes,
thank you, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Okay, down to Orlando, Florida. Hi, Randy. What's your situation right now?
Hey, how you both doing today?
Wonderful.
Very good,
thank
Randy.
You.
Oh, that's good. First of all, I want to thank you for your program. Appreciate that you use the gift that God gives you to kind of help out everybody and to share the gospel.
Thank you, sir.
But my question is this. Okay, so I'm battling between having a real estate agent sell my home, or maybe you two are cringe at this, for sale by owner. Now, while I looked up online, I got people who are, they were excited about it. They did a great job. They made out well. Other people, like, my gosh, it was a nightmare. They talk about different kits that you could buy, and they kind of walk you through the different process of, you know, paperwork, you know, all that good stuff. But I just want to get your, both your guys' opinion on the pluses and the minuses of actually, the, you know, for the realtor or for me selling it on my own.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, obviously the reason that people will sell homes themselves is they want to save some money, and so they get out from under the commission. Obviously, you know your home. You can take your time. But I really feel like that's offset by the lack of having professional expertise and help. So I'm a big advocate, Randy, of having a real estate professional. This is, for most folks, the largest transaction that they will have. So when you think about every aspect of what a real estate agent brings to the table, a professional, especially one who perhaps specializes in your particular neighborhood or part of town, you know, everything from setting the selling price, they can give you a comparative market analysis to determine what the appropriate selling price is. You may price it too low and leave money on the table just based on the data they can bring to bear. Then the staging, looking at how is the best way to position the home so it shows well. And, you know, perhaps you have too much clutter in one room, or, you know, you have too many family photos in one particular place. I mean, they can come in with a really an independent view on this and just give you some counsel on how to position the home to sell it well, including perhaps a little bit of money you should put into repairs or even to spruce up the place. For instance, curb appeal is a big deal when it comes to, you know, getting your home ready to sell. So it may be worth a few hundred dollars in landscaping. If you have some loud colors in a particular room, it might be worth a coat of paint. So those kinds of things they can help you with. I think then it's a matter of the actual showing of the home, where you've got a professional there who's thinking about everything from security. Who are these people that are coming in your home? Are they coming with another agent where they've, you know, at least somebody has vetted them and is working with them? Or is this somebody who just calls from off the street? So there's a bit more security there in terms of who's coming and going from your personal residence. Then there's the negotiation. You are often in a better position if you're not the one negotiating with the buyer, but a professional is doing that on your behalf. And then we haven't even gotten into the contract side of it. Somebody who understands the laws in your particular state, understands the contracts that are being used by the Board of Realtors or whatever contract might be in play, and can help you manage that side of it. And then there's the closing and getting all of that piece done. So when you think about all of these different components, yes, you're going to spend some money in the form of a commission, but I would venture to say that the value of that and potentially the higher selling price that you could actually realize as a result of having that professional in there is well worth the expense. In fact, I would probably go as far as to say in just about every case, in my view, you're going to come out ahead.
Wow, great points. I really appreciate it. Give me something to think about and also to throw out my wife and kind of just put it up in prayer. But yeah,
Good,
thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, and I think that's exactly the right way to go. Give it some thought and prayer and see where you guys come down. But all the best to you in the days ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Randy.
So much.
We appreciate that. All righty, buddy. Rob, if I remember correctly, you sold your home. You used a realtor just a couple of years ago. Your home sold in 2 days. Ron Blue, we found out yesterday, just sold his home, and it sold in 2 weeks. Now, again, I believe you used a realtor, but when you sell your house in a couple of weeks, or in your case, a couple of days, that's generally a positive thing, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, ours actually sold in less than 24 hours. It was just fascinating. We moved out for the weekend knowing that they were going to do an open house and put it on the market. It hit the market on Friday afternoon. We went to my mom's place for the weekend just so we were kind of out of the way, knowing that people would be coming and going. And by 5 p.m. on Saturday, we had 4 full-price offers.
No kidding.
It doesn't always work like that. It certainly hasn't for us. But I'll tell you, there's certainly value in having somebody thinking about all sides of it.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, I agree with you totally. All right, you're listening to MoneyWise, MoneyWise Live. We are indeed live today. And if you'd like to chat with us about anything financial that might be going on in your life, that'd be great. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. When we come back, we'll say hello to Gladys, Jess, and down to Ocala, Florida as well. Bynea, I believe, is the correct pronunciation there. Stick around. We're MoneyWise Live, where we help you understand and establish God's plan for your life and your finances, your money, your planning. If we can help you do that today, we have an opportunity when you call 800-525-7000 to Makoka, Illinois. Hi, Gladys. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. And you?
We're doing wonderfully. Thanks. What's on your mind?
My husband just started drawing Social Security in December, because he turned 62. And I have been getting disability since 2008, and neither of us has received our stimulus checks.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you know, I would just be patient on that, Gladys. Is I suspect you're getting a paper check, which those are in many cases still arriving. And the fact that your husband is on Social Security, you're on disability, you can rest assured that the government does have your information and you will get the check. It's just that those electronic checks went out first. The paper checks are still being sent and received. But I think you're in a good spot here. And as long as you can be patient here for another week or two, I suspect it'll be showing up very soon.
Yeah. Gladys, okay. if everyone in the country has pretty much said they've gotten their check, then, you know, maybe there's an issue we need to deal with. But since there are a lot of people that still haven't received, and we definitely know the government knows, you know, who you are and where you are, I think if you just give it another week or so, as Rob pointed out, you guys will be good to go. And we're glad that you called today. Thank you very much. Muncie, Indiana. Hello, Jess. You have a question?
Yeah, I do. Thank you very much. This concerns my daughter. She's a struggling college student in a master's program. Last year was the first year she actually filed income taxes, and she did get a refund electronically in her bank account. But she has not received her check either.
Yeah. Well, so, you're not obviously claiming her as a dependent, correct?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So she should be eligible. You know, parents, many of them don't realize that the stimulus payment leaves out anyone 18 years and older who is still claimed as a dependent on another person's tax return, or if they can be claimed as a dependent. But in your case, because she is not, and she's obviously filing her own return, then I don't see any reason why she wouldn't get it. And the fact that she did get the refund electronically does raise a little bit of a suspicion there, because most folks have already received those. But I would just be patient on that. I don't see any reason why, Jess, she won't receive it. So I think I would just hang tight. If the next couple of weeks go by and it doesn't show up, I would look at perhaps some of the other options we mentioned. Did she use a tax preparer where they had an account that received that that refund that perhaps it's sitting in? You know, that could be one option. She didn't. Okay. So it came directly.
She did the online, an online service, tax service where you do it yourself.
And so it came directly back to her checking account.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, so I would just be patient on that. If it doesn't come in the next 2 weeks, then I would be on the phone trying to get a little bit more information or on the IRS's website.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Very good.
Thanks, Jess. 800-525-7000 if you'd like to speak with Rob West today. Ocala, Florida. Is it Bynea? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
No, it's Bynea.
Bynea. Okay, I apologize for that. I knew I was going to make a mess of that, and I apologize. But what's your question today?
Well, it's kind of odd. If someone has a felony charge in their record, do they still qualify for that stimulus check?
You know, there's nothing that we've seen, Bynea, that would indicate that a felony would preclude you from receiving that. Obviously, this is not someone who's incarcerated currently. Is that right?
No.
Okay. So, nothing that I've seen that would indicate that, just that conviction being on the record would in any way impact that. We'll have our team look into that a bit further, but I'm not aware of anything right offhand.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
We wish you the best. Rob, what do you say we take an email? This is from Mary. She says, "Dear Rob and Steve, for the past 19 years, my husband has managed the money. It's frustrating to know that we have overdraft fees and other financial problems, but every time I offer to help, he says, 'I'll figure it out,'" unquote. Would having separate accounts help us?
You know, Mary, this is a tough situation. Let me just encourage you. First of all, you know, there's a lot of people that find themselves in this spot where there's just a lack of communication going on, and perhaps one of the marriage partners is handling the money, the other is not, and vice versa. It's not always the husband or always the wife. It could go either way. But I think the bottom line is this is perhaps enough of a red flag that you need to lean into this further, because just what you're describing here, even at a very superficial level, would indicate to me that perhaps there's something going on behind the scenes underneath this. You realize money issues are hard issues. And so underneath all of this is trust, which has obviously been eroded by the fact that there's evidence of mismanagement in the form of overdraft fees and other problems. And there's a lack of transparency. Separate accounts is just going to magnify that. So I'd lean into it and ask if he'd be willing to get a third party involved, perhaps one of our MoneyWise coaches, or if you have a financial coaching ministry at your church. I'd also pull a copy of your credit report just to see what's out there as well. We'll be praying for you. Be prayed up. Approach him about it. Ask for real transparency and get somebody else involved.
This is Money Wise Live. We'll be right back after this. James 4:3 reminds us, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." If we can help you today as we talk about spending and earning and giving and saving and investing, call right now, 800-525-7000 to Illinois. And Linda, what's your question today?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Very good.
Great. Thanks.
Good. My question is, I'm on disability, and I was just wondering, my partner received, I'm sorry, I'm kind of nervous.
No problem. Take your time.
Sure. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Take your time. So did someone claim you on their taxes last year?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, that's
okay.
It.
Okay.
Okay, and you're on disability.
Now, yes, and I was just wondering if I'm going to get the stimulus check or no.
Yeah. Probably not, Linda. You know, there is a group of adult dependents that are excluded from payments. These can be college students who may be adults in the eyes of the law and yet are still claimed as dependents on their parents' tax returns. But the other group is disabled adults that can be claimed as a dependent on another person's tax return are excluded based on the way the bill was set up. So if you haven't received it and you were claimed on somebody else's tax return, you are likely not going to receive it, unfortunately.
Okay, that's what I figured. Okay, thank you.
Okay,
you have a good
Linda,
day, guys.
God bless you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Let's continue on to Fairmount, Indiana. And Lee, what's on your heart today?
Yes. I just got out of high school and I've been working for a few summers now. And I was wondering what you guys thought about investments that would be for a period of 4 years. What would be like a good plan?
Oh. Yeah. Tell me about that, Lee. And by the way, congratulations on graduating high school and already thinking about setting yourself up financially for the future. When you say 4 years, what are you targeting using this money for in the next 4 years?
This could possibly be for a down payment on a house in the future. Mainly, I just want to make sure I can still have the money once I get out of college. But I just want it to grow and be like steady growth.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, that's just under kind of my rule of thumb for when you'd want to put this at the risk of the market? I mean, I'd really like to see at least 5 years and, you know, often 7 to 10 years to be invested if you're going to put this at the risk of the stock market and want to make sure that you've preserved the capital to have access to down the road. And then, of course, the objective is to have some growth on top of that. But if you're saying that 4 years from now, you want the ability to come out of grad school, know that this money's there, so you can put a down payment on a house, to me, that's saying the return of my capital is more important than the return on my capital, which just means that we need to put the preservation of capital paramount here above even the ability to earn a good rate of return. So in this case, Lee, I'm going to recommend you just put this in an online savings account. Right now, with low interest rates, you're going to get probably 1.5, 1.6%. I like Marcus. I like Capital One 360. You could look at Ally Bank, for example. You would put it in a separate account. That way you wouldn't have the likelihood that it would be spent out of your checking account, but it would still be linked there so you could get to it. You'll earn a little bit of interest each year, which I know is not very exciting. But again, the main thing here is that, you know, in the event we had a prolonged recession, this market went down a good bit more than it, you know, before it went up, which is certainly possible. You won't find yourself in a position 4 years from now where you're looking to access this money and we've just, you know, you've lost a good bit and now you're feeling like, I don't want to pull it out because it's down and, you know, and yet you're ready to make that purchase. So I think for that reason, you don't have a long enough time horizon. And so I would go ahead and leave that in an online savings. Beyond that, Lee, I'd like to send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts. I would love for you at this early stage, as you're just getting started as an adult, to really learn God's way of handling money, starting with God owns it all and money being a tool and how you look at the biblical perspective around lifestyle and debt and savings and you know, money that you owe for taxes, just so you can really develop a biblical framework to think about your money and God's heart related to it. So if you stay on the line, we'll get your information and get that right out to you, okay?
Okay. Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Would now be a good time to start off a 401k Roth? Or should I wait?
Well, I think there's a couple of questions I'd have first. I love the idea of saving early. I like the Roth 401k or IRA, especially when there's matching on the 401k. But I'd want to make sure you have an emergency fund first, so 3 months worth of expenses. And I'd want to make sure you don't have a lot of consumer debt, like credit card debt or student loan debt. Obviously, you won't have student loan debt yet, but do you have any credit card debt?
I have no debt.
Okay, great. And so, yeah, as long as you're managing your budget well and, you know, you don't have any debt, you've got that emergency fund, absolutely. Go ahead and get started with that Roth 401k.
You have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lee. We appreciate that. 800-525-7000. Let's see if we can sneak one more in here. I think we have a cross line thing going on here, Rob. Let's see. I think it's Kathy. Kathy in Chattanooga, you had a situation and now you've got it worked out with your stimulus check, right?
Well, the problem is the stimulus check was mailed. This is for my husband. We're currently separated, but he 2 years ago on 2018, his tax preparer put it was 917, whatever his address was at the time.
Yeah.
And that's never been changed. So he found out by going to the post office today that he saw online where the check had been mailed May 1st, and then he went to the post office to check, and they didn't quite know what to tell him. I wondered if you had any advice on how he could pursue tracking this down or what to do next.
Yes, so he has not filed his 2019 tax return yet. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And do you think there's a chance you could contact the folks who reside at his former address and ask them to forward it to you?
I think that would be wonderful. We're just hopeful that it hasn't. I don't know how easily they are fraudulently cashed, but we hope it hasn't gone by the wayside.
I think that's. Yeah, I think that's a starting point. I know, you know, last time I moved, I developed a pretty good relationship with my buyer because it seemed like for the next 6 months, he and I were talking regularly as things were showing up at the house, and I'd drop by and pick them up, or he'd put them in the mail. And so I think that is obviously a low-tech approach, but still may be effective, and hopefully these are honest folks that would be retrieving that. I think beyond that, visiting the IRS's website, they do have a free online portal where you can update the information, and I think through the FAQs, you should be able to see how, where you've verified it's a bad address, you can provide that information and they can proceed with stop payment and perhaps reissuing that if you can't get that check. So I would take one of those two approaches, either the former address, trying to reach someone there, and or contacting the IRS directly.
Yeah. Kathy, we're glad you called in today. Thanks for that information. We're sorry for the little phone line problem we had there, but I think we have that under control. If we can help you today, pull your finances under control, we'd love to help. 800-525-7000. That's toll-free, 800-525-7000. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Back with more after this. Hey, if you haven't visited our website in a while, you might want to avail yourself of that because there's a lot of great information. There are some downloads that you can take a look at for free, and it's also a way that you can help support our program and our ministry by clicking the Donate tab at the top of the page. If you'd give that some prayerful consideration, we would be most happy and most blessed by that. And again, click the Donate tab at the top of the page when you visit moneywiselive.org. Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Cindy. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. Great.
Okay, perfect. So my question is, I have the majority of my assets are in stocks. And I know that the philosophy is always leave your stuff in there, ride out the wave, think long term. But with the projection of going into a recession, what I have in my stocks right now is almost what I put in. Why doesn't it not make more sense for me to take it out, put it in a money market right now, and when everything dips down, buy all my stuff back and start from there? I don't understand why that's not like what everyone would recommend.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly appreciate that, Cindy. The challenge is you just don't know where the market's going from here. I could put on three economists who say that it's likely we're going to retest our lows, and I could put on three others, very bright people with a lot of education and experience, that would say we're probably not going to retest those lows. You know, and so trying to time the market is just a losing proposition because it's really akin to gambling. Because frankly, no one knows what the stock market is going to do in the short run. The market is moving every day based on its best forward-looking thinking around what's going to happen from here. The problem is the headlines change every day. Yesterday, the Fed chairman was out talking about the really unlimited support that the Federal Reserve is going to use to, in the form of monetary stimulus and monetary policy, to support the economy. And then we get a headline about a successful trial for a vaccine for COVID-19. And then all of a sudden we get the unemployment numbers and we've lost 3 million jobs. And so, you know, the market is just trying to interpret the data. The challenge is the data is coming as, you know, daily, if not minute by minute. And so the fact that you could try to pick a period to get out and then somehow pick a period to get back in and, you know, make that work for you, it just doesn't, unfortunately. And so instead, what we do is we say we need to take the long view. And that always begins, Cindy, with making sure you're invested for the right reasons with the right investment mix. So what are the right reasons? Well, the right reasons would be I've got at least a 10-year time horizon, so I can really wait out any recession. The right reason would be this is money that is long-term in nature, and it's money that, you know, I can stand to lose in the short run. The right reason to invest would be, you know, you want to get a return on it, and you then use an investment strategy that fits your time horizon and your objective. So that's where the mix between stocks and bonds, like fixed income investments, come into play. But as long as you've answered all of those questions appropriately, then it doesn't matter whether the market goes up today or down today or next week or next month, because we're not looking at it from that perspective. We're taking the long view. And here's what all the data says and all the research, that if you take that approach, you're going to do well. Every 10-year period going back the last 100 years, you're going to come out better. In fact, the average return, even though it might be wild fluctuation in between, is going to be better than 9%, you know, with just a straight stock portfolio. So from that standpoint, trying to guess or pick a bottom or time the market just doesn't work in your favor time after time after time. And in fact, the people that got out of the market, you know, during the initial pullback missed an incredible recovery of more than 20% in a very short period of time. Well, we could have never seen that coming because we're already in a recession, and yet the stock market has rebounded significantly. So I think from that standpoint, you just need to, despite the headlines, despite some of the concerns you have, just trust that in the, if you take the long view, it's always going to work in your best interest. Does that make sense, though?
It does, yes. I guess it's just disheartening to see an account like dip, you know, substantially. I guess I just need to stop looking at it.
And that's not a bad idea. I mean, it's not that we bury our heads in the sand, because as stewards of God's money, we need to know what's going on. But it's not productive to watch the daily moves or even the monthly moves of the account because of the concern that it can create on your part. Again, as long as you understand you're taking the long view, and over time, it's going to be okay.
Rob, what do you recommend if someone says, you know, I just can't sleep at night? I just can't sleep at night knowing where we are and not knowing what the future is. Any recommendation when someone is in that position?
Yeah, well, I think you've got to start by renewing your mind with God's word and realizing God is ultimately in control. And what he's done is give us principles to follow when it comes to managing his money. And one of those is we should seek a return on our money, but we should also heed the counsel of Scripture as it relates to our money. And if we've done everything we can do by applying biblical truth to how we're managing money, then we leave the rest to the Lord, and we need to rest in his sufficiency and control over everything and not try to assume that on ourselves. What are you doing with what you've been given? As long as that lines up with your values and God's word, then I think we've got to leave the rest to him. That's easier said than done, Steve. I get that. And that's where I think having wise counsel can help. But at the end of the day, we've got to leave it with the Lord.
All right. Well said. Beloit, Wisconsin. Gordon, what's your question for Rob?
Yeah, it's Jordan, but that's okay.
Oh, Jordan, I apologize.
No, that's all right. You kind of touched on this with the last caller. I guess my question is that I've been trying to ground myself daily in trusting in the Lord, because only he knows the future and I know we can trust him. At the same time, there are these fears of, you know, what's going to happen with the dollar, what's going to happen in the, economically, you know, even a year from now. My, you know, we don't have any debt, 31 years old, three kids. We were able to put a new roof on the house with our tax return and different things like that. My question is, you know, I still have my job. I'm still getting a paycheck, which is, I'm very thankful for that. Would you recommend with some of the extra money that we do have, investing in some physical assets like a generator, or maybe even investing in buying a cow to butcher down the road? Or would you say just hold on to this money and, that you have in your savings, and just don't panic, don't go out and, you know, spend it all, but hold on to this money that you have in your savings?
Yeah.
Well, I guess, does that get to
it
my
does.
Point.
It does. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, Gordon, you know, you've got to start with recognizing that you've got to trust the Lord in all of this. Yeah. And it's, you know, we can't operate out of a spirit of fear. We've got to really operate out of a spirit of faith and trust and really rely on truth. So I think we start by going back to God's word and say, what can I draw from scripture that really guides how I should live? Well, I need to make sure my trust is placed squarely, not in the things of this world, but in God himself. I need to make sure I'm being a faithful manager of what he's given to me. And I realize that's at the heart of your question as you're asking about some of these potential options you have. We know that, you know, clearly in Proverbs, and we see this other places in scripture, there's precious oil in the house of the wise. The foolish man swallows it up. So there's something to be said about taking a portion of what God has given you and setting it aside, having margin that gives you flexibility. And so I like the idea, if you have excess, to keep that liquid and keep it there for you to be able to use as you need. Now, beyond that, I think it's ultimately a conviction issue. You know, do you have a conviction that you need to, you know, have some of these extra supplies on hand? That's not the conviction that I have. I don't see, as a result of this pandemic, which is, an event-driven recession that's come because of a health event, the supply chains have remained intact. I think we're gonna get beyond this. Social distancing is working. There's incredible amounts of science working behind the scenes to, you know, provide some longer-term solutions to this. Can it be scary? Sure, but ultimately our trust is in the Lord. And, you know, I don't see where, investing necessarily in having, you know, a cow on the property or a generator is necessary at this point. You may come to a different conclusion, and that's certainly okay. I guess what I would just say at the end of the day is, I like the idea of you having margin and flexibility. And for me, having that liquid cash available is going to serve you well and perhaps even better than making an investment in one of these other options that you mentioned that may or may not be necessary. And in fact, based on what we're seeing, doesn't appear to be necessary today.
And Gordon or Jordan, I apologize. We hope that helps you. We're going to have to run because we're pretty much out of time here. But thanks very much. Maybe those two could be combined. I mean, I'm no specialist in this area, but you've got your cow. You've got your methane gas, I'm told. You've got your generator. Maybe the gas could run the generator. We've got a perpetual motion machine thing going on here. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, give that a try and then report back, Steve.
All right, quickly, Rob, tell us about the new MoneyWise e-magazine, because we're excited about it, right?
Well, we sure are, Steve. A lot of great resources at moneywiselive.org for you to check out. One of those is the e-magazine. You'll see a green band at the top for you to give us your email address.
Yeah.
We're not going to sell that. We're not going to use it for any other purpose other than sending you every quarter a wonderful edition of the MoneyWise e-magazine free of charge. It'll give you great, helpful advice, always rooted in Scripture. The current edition that you'll get right away when you sign up is based on the theme of financial hope. And boy, we can all use some financial hope these days.
Boy, I'd like to say that we had this well thought out, but it was months ago that we began thinking about this, but it just sort of worked into the situation today. But again, the first issue's theme is embracing financial hope. You might want to check it out today. Just visit us at moneywise.org. My thanks to Judy, Courtney, Clara, and Jim for their technical expertise and assistance today. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Drive safely. Have a great remainder of your day. Join us again next time.